Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Are you back in St. Louis?
We are. We're back here. And
do you have your Blues hat that, on?
No, that'll be for tomorrow.
Jersey, everything?
Yeah, Rashog said he's looking for socks. I'm telling you, man, it's not the games. The games are fun. The games are fun to cover. It's the 2 days between them.
Oh, that sucks, just, man.
Yeah, it's just like it's never ending, but that's the way it is. So whoever won last night was going to be our favorite team.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you are an alumni.
Yeah, I think they're unveiling the plaque tomorrow in the hallway, too. So
I would love to see you out there full gear with the cup.
Legends Row.
Imagine Ray bombs out there like the 75th guy to get to carry the cup around and after the
it
owners
would be
and the trainers.
As ridiculous as you getting your number retired in junior.
Well, it did happen. I wasn't retired, but for a day I was the captain of the team again.
Honorary captain.
So
I get the feeling I'd walk down there and say, hey, I played for the Blues, and they'd be like, yeah, beat it, chump,
yeah.
Scram.
Sorry. Thanks for jumping back in the bandwagon, but leave us alone, please.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the wagon's pretty full here. There's the alumni. I think there were 64 of them at the last game, at game four, and there's a whole flock of them coming back for game six. And the people are, you know, are beyond excited. You know, they've never won, and there's a lot of people that have invested a lot of time, I think, in this, and they're pretty hopeful they can win it tomorrow or in 2 days.
Is there anyone that has a really bad history with the Blues? Like someone that went out on a really bad terms or anything?
Brett Hull did.
Did he?
Brett Hull did. And then it was quite some time before everything kind of got mended back. And he's certainly, you know, very popular and very involved with the alumni here.
Yeah, he won two cups away from St. Louis, one in Dallas, one in Detroit.
Right, yeah.
Right. And you saw his Let's Go Blues thing the other night. So he was very enthusiastic about the start of the game.
And yeah, he was handing out the bird in the middle of the game as well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how that got to be a good idea for him. But anyway, he had that fired up as well.
Oh, yeah, he was in fine form a couple of nights ago.
Well,
yeah,
can you imagine if they win on Sunday? Like, he's going to be Bernie Lomax, him and Chaser. Like, they're going to act like they won the cup. Like, that's the one thing. Sorry, go ahead, Ray.
Chaser said something like, he's like, this will go on for a week, and I don't even think he's kidding.
Like, oh, he's got plans.
They're professionals, those guys.
Yeah, I agree. Know what they're doing, man. They have partied like they've won the cup before. They just never actually have.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So they'll just be doing it for real this time. But, you know, the reason why I wonder if there's anyone that really went out on the wrong foot. Like, would they be accepted after a cup? Because I'm thinking about here in Toronto, let's say the Raptors find a way to win it and Vince Carter shows up and all of a sudden Vince is at the parade.
Would you accept Vince?
No, I never will.
You wouldn't?
No,
really?
I won't. I won't, and I don't.
Well,
I,
what would he be doing at the parade? I mean, it's not his team.
No, I understand that, but, you know, you never know if the owner would invite him or something.
He's a big part of their history, though,
the
right?
One of the biggest. I don't dispute his, you know, who he was and what he meant.
He left on poor terms.
Horrible terms. Horrible terms. And
well, I mean, if he gets invited back, that's one thing. But, I mean, like, ex-players, you know, alumni, whatever, they don't belong on the stage. They don't belong in the parade. The parade is about the team that won. It's about the guys that fought their way through this season and this playoff. It's got nothing to do with guys of the past or the greats of the past. And so I would say the same thing for Vince Carter. It's like, yes, of course, he's the most popular Raptor of all time and certainly the most notable, and he doesn't belong on the stage with them. He doesn't belong in a parade. If they win, it's these guys that deserve to be recognized. It's their team.
I agree.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
Ray, going into last night, how was the outrage about the call? I mean, were people freaking out? And it's just kind of a side story, but I saw some videos of some dumb fights in the stands. I don't even know if that was, it couldn't have been.
That was alcohol
both,
related.
Yeah, they were both wearing Bruins jerseys.
They were fighting each other last night.
Yeah, it was just alcohol.
By the way, they were chucking knuckles. Anyway, about the call, Was it that bad watching it or what? Like in the building?
Oh, the play happened across the ice from us, so we're up top. There was no way that looked like anything other than a penalty.
Like, yeah, we talked last night, Ray, about that that cheesy call in the first game where it was like a little hooking penalty, referee arm up, in the same area of the ice. That happened, and there was just, the guy was looking right at it, and it, no call.
He's 15, 18 feet away from it. That has to be a penalty. And I can get the Bruins' outrage on this one.
Yeah.
Like, it's a shame because it was a hell of a game, and the goaltending, Binnington was outstanding.
Yeah,
O'Reilly has another great game, and nobody, Chara, I mean, to play like he did with the injury that he had, I mean, those all should have been the stories, and none of it is. It's all about, you know, this trip that Bozak makes that is clearly a penalty, and then to compound it, it ends up in the net. And then Achari gets pulled off the bench by the concussion spotter. So they've only got 10 guys, 10 forwards left till he came back from concussion spot. Because they dressed 11 forwards. Like, the whole thing was, it's brutal that it overshadows everything. But I don't know how you can ignore it and say, oh, it's not a big deal. When it was 2-0, it was a big deal. When DeBrusk scored to make it 2-1, we were like, uh-oh. This is really bad now.
The thing is, Ray, I was asked today, like, how do you fix it? And the question is, like, when a team sucks, you can't trade 20 guys. So what are you going to do? Get rid of all the referee? Like, how do you fix this? I have no idea.
The way I think it, the closest way it can be fixed, and I know there's people have this vision in their head about international hockey, but in, you know, I do 50 international games a year, roughly. They call it pretty close to what the book is. Never mind this, let the players decide, and we're going to manage the game. Because when you manage the game, that means you let plays go. And a play like last night gets by, and it becomes part of the game. The international rules, or the international interpretation of the rules is, if it's a penalty, they call it. At the start, there's a whole bunch of penalties, and everybody hates it. And then it settles in. The difference is, in the international game, you have international referees. They're not the best of the best. And as much as we, you know, gripe about the officials in the NHL, they are the best that there is. If you give them the leeway to call the book tightly, I think you eliminate a lot of this crap. Too much managing the game, that means calls get overlooked. That means one gets overlooked. Gee, that other one, that was pretty close to the one I let go. Should I let that one go too? And pretty soon you're down the road and you get just wildly inconsistent games. And that's where I think the game's at now.
Yeah, I think it's gotten to a point where it's worth a shot anyway. You know, let's see what that would look like, you know, if you do call it by the book, so to speak. Now, of course, it's never going to be perfect. That's a disclaimer.
I think people go nuts, man.
But the thing is, that disclaimer doesn't get brought up enough. Like, you know, it's never going to be perfect. Like, we live in a society where we believe, for whatever reason, we deserve perfection, but it can't happen and it won't happen.
Right.
I think the fear, and it's a fear that I can understand in the playoffs in particular, is, you know, the intensity is ramped up so high. The physicality is so high.
Yeah.
You don't want to take that away because that's what makes it so compelling.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you draw that line where... Well, it's getting amped up that much more. You don't want to lose that.
I would give you the example of an Olympic gold medal game. And that's unbelievably intense.
Right.
Right? Think back to the game in Vancouver. I think there was just 3 or 4 penalties. And it's not that the game will only change in that the players and I'll use you as an example, not Noodles because you were a goalie, but like remember when you could get away with a tug on a guy's jersey? Pretty soon you're like, now you got the whole thing in your hand. And then you hook them a little bit and you get away with that too. And you're like, now you can do anything. I think if they call the penalties tight, at the beginning for 3 to 4 weeks, there's going to be a lot of penalties. The last time they tried this, I thought they were so close to getting it right. And then they bailed on it in the second half of the season. And it turned into a free-for-all again. It's like, for lack of a better term, You got to have the bells to call the penalties the way they should be and stay with it. You can't fold because the fans start to get upset or the media starts to get upset because there's too many penalties. Because in my opinion, it will crest and then the penalties will go back down because the players will go, I can't be in the penalty box all the time. I got to figure out a new way.
I agree.
I think that's the way forward.
I agree. And last night, it was close as far as managing the game. That's the word you brought up. And I was watching it. It was almost like they didn't give them that call because they didn't want the Bruins to have another power play because what were the power plays, 4-1 at that time?
Yeah, it would have been. I think it would have been their fourth straight.
Yeah. So instead of...
But so what?
Exactly. That's my point. If you're creating or if you are committing infractions, that's on you. Like that's, and if it's being called consistently, I get it. And I've always been an advocate, being an old school guy, of allowing the refs to manage the game and have a feel for it. But if you're just trying to even the score, then you let that play last night go. And what happens, it comes back to bite you in the ass. And Brian and Owen and I had a spirited debate in the 4 o'clock hour about Cassidy. Now Cassidy is advocating against the refs last night where Berube did it after game three because he's saying, hey, it shifted. St. Louis is getting all the calls or the non-calls. And, you know, Berube was claiming that after game three. And advocation seems to, I guess from the outside, maybe be working a little bit.
Well, coaches do it. I mean, I was surprised he didn't get fined.
Who's the last coach that hasn't tried to influence the refs or influence the call at a press conference? I mean, they all do it. I'm with you, Brian. I thought he should have got fined last night.
Yeah.
I mean, other guys get fined and they didn't find him. I thought he did a really good job today. I don't know if you guys saw his presser at all.
Yeah, I did.
Like, they turned the page today. I mean, I'm sure they're still pissed, but they're like, okay, look, we got to get a power play scoring. We got to find a way to score some goals here. We got to look at some adjustments we got to make. We got one more chance. And there's no point worrying about the referees. The one thing I will say about managing the game that we would remember from when we played is it was easier for one guy to manage a game because he's the only guy making the calls. It's almost impossible for two different people to manage the game the same way. And with two refs, I think you set up a wildly inconsistent slate. And that's why, again, I think it's better if you just call what's there. And if one team ends up with seven power plays, then don't commit seven penalties, the other guys. That's just the way it should be.
Yeah, but you know what I also think happens a lot of times is these refs are humans, and they feel like the players are always trying to screw them over. And what I mean by that is they know what happens. When I'm not looking, you're going to jab that guy.
I know, yeah. But this is a situation where he's looking right at it.
No.
I understand the situation where you see something, you're like, I just can't raise my... You freeze.
Right, but what I'm saying is I think what happens is... You look at a guy like Marchand, a perfect example, where guys like... The guy's like, I know you just did something, and you weaseled me because I can't call it because I didn't see it. Right. So the next time they hit you, I'm evening that score.
Right.
You know, and then technically, he should have called the one he saw.
Right.
But technically, the other one was a penalty too.
That's him managing the game.
But
that's,
exactly. And I think that's what happens.
But wouldn't you say to yourself as a ref, I can't let that obvious one go away like that at that critical point in the game?
I totally agree. I hear you. Oh, I'm just saying, you know, I think we're asking for the refs to be
perfect,
robotic,
and they're not.
Yeah.
And that's what the complaint is from everybody, the fans, everybody. Everyone says the greatest referees in the world.
Yeah.
And it's not a game of perfect. But how do you miss that? That's yeah.
So
that...
I think from the leagues, from the hockey ops department, they have to give the officials the directive, just call what's there. Like, give them some public support, give them some private support. Like, if you call what most would say is too many penalties, but they're all penalties, then what are you going to do? Call them all. Like, give them some support. I think they're trying to... It's like there's no spine there. Like you have to take an uncomfortable position, I believe, if you're going to get it right. If you're going to get it as close to right as you can. There's always going to be crappy calls. always is.
Right.
Just like goalies give up crappy goals, forwards make lousy shots and terrible passes, and D lose their man. That's the way the game is. But I don't think the refs are in the position, don't have the support of the league and the directive of the way that the game should be officiated. I think they should be way more tight on it. And if they are, I think you'll get a better, more consistently refereed game.
Well, that,
I'm convinced.
That's another reason why I'm surprised Cassidy didn't get fined, just as basically to throw the ref a bone. Like,
yeah, be like, we got the refs back.
It.
Yeah,
can't have it. Right. We can't have the coaches doing this. Like,
I agree.
You work for us. You're a league employee.
I would have given him a $10,000 fine, and I guarantee you, Seabass would have written the check out of his personal
Happily.
Check.
It's more accountable than anything else.
Seabass has got a good arm, doesn't he? Can
you imagine that? Like, imagine being around.
It
Cam
hit Fergie's
Neely.
Nose when it rebounded off the wall and it didn't go on the ice.
I would be terrified hanging around that guy in any situation.
You look at that clip again, nobody turned their head.
No.
Like, they just all kept staring forward. That must have sounded like a cannonball hitting the wall.
Yeah, not the first time they've seen him do that.
Well, you know, the scary part is if you were on the road and you saw him acting up, and then you got to jump on the bus afterwards, and you've had a bad game, and he's sitting in that first seat, you know he's burning lasers through you. Like, I Daryl Sutter was quite an intense person. And I hated getting on the bus.
I love when
after
a new guy got traded to your team and you lose and they start laughing on the bus. And
you're like,
no.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. No, it's.
I always noticed when the coach, who usually sat by the window, moved over to the aisle seat when we really sucked. And so you have to come on, and now you're like 6 inches from him. And he's just staring right through you, and you're like, yeah, I got it. I was no good tonight. I got, like, he even moved from the window, like that was too far away. You wanted to get right in your grill on the way by.
The worst ever was we lost in Long Island, and Paul Maurice was like, I'm so mad, but I want to watch a movie. Does anybody have any movies? And I put up my hand, I'm like, I do, but you have to stop the bus on the side of the highway. We stop the bus, I grab my bag, and I've got, like, Shannon Tweed softcore porn movies. And they fire one in, and he's like, he is so mad that that's why we stopped the bus.
Shannon Tweed.
It was, like, I was a big Shannon Tweed
fan. Well, it's Gene Simmons' wife, right?
That's right, yeah. He's right, like, I'm so mad, but we got to watch a movie to get rid of this. And I'm like, I got one. We got to stop the bus. I grab my bag from
Shannon Tweed.
It's loaded with VHS Shannon Tweed videos. And we fire one in, and guys were dying laughing.
Well, here's my question to all
of
that.
What was his reaction?
Who doesn't like Shannon Tweed?
Well, I guess my question is, who brings Shannon Tweed VHS tapes on the road with them?
It was part of my pride.
A super fan.
Yeah.
A super fan. That's who.
You call the hotel ahead, you rent a VHS,
yeah.
Done.
Oh. Got 90 minutes for a movie.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got through the whole movie every single time.
Got one movie and he's only seen the first 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, which movie have you seen more than any? Well, the first 10 minutes of the Shannon Tweed movie. Seen that about 75 times.
Don't worry, boys, I'll be down for dinner.
Order me a Diet Coke. All right, Ray, enjoy the weekend. We'll do it on Monday.
Later on, see you. Have a good weekend.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com.